An old man sat in the cathedral library under new timberwork. On the desk before him, an open tome flourished its brilliant colours, like a kingfisher through June sunshine, to and fro in front of his blindness. As he lifted the vellum pages, he could feel the illumination, the smoothness of gold, the extra warmth of scarlet bled out to the margins, which had absorbed more heat than yellow or any of his blues. He had used a range for his vision of heaven's saints gambling with the animals. Yes, it was his work, the bestiary he was showing off. The blind brother had once had sight. "This picture," questioned the stone carver, newly enlisted by the bishop and sent to see him as a preparation for gargoyles. "All these animals in the desert with the monks and nuns and the hooved man, what is it based on?" He tapped the page and the old man pushed his fingers there, spider-like, pulsing on the textures. At length, with the sigh of remembrance blowing into his blankness, he spoke. "I was the bishop's donkey boy in those days. Walter Bronscombe, he was before your time. A progress, they called it. More like an erring, the march I made with him. 'How are we going?' someone had asked him. 'He, as the crow flies.' And that's how we went, no compromising, straight over the top from Widdicombe to Sowerton." It was February, the emptiest time of year. Bruised-looking hills rose over each other into the northern waste. Snow threatened. I leaned forward and patted my loaded charge. Our train was considerable, the chaplain, of course, and a horde of the bishop's retainers, but an abbess too and some nuns had chosen to go with us for the escort. This was a route for which there were no crosses, for no one had dreamed of church folk taking it. They had reckoned without Father Walter. We wound along by the river till marshes forced us to strike for the higher ground. Mist rolled, cutting us off from each other. Then it rained, depressing us. We camped that first night under a tor, suffering terribly, sodden and cold. Things started to happen. By noon on the next day, Bronscombe was lost. Then a nun fell down in a fit and began seeing visions. Wolves tracked us, terrifying the horses. Wild pigs snorted. A great red stag leapt out of the drizzle. Dismissing our warning, deer were the king's meat, one of the men let fly an arrow at him. Incessantly, the smell of peat permeated our prayers. On the third day, we were ravenous. Then out of the damp air came a sound like a young woman singing and the rich smell of roasting meat and herbs warming our nostrils. Our dreams were true then. Someone had found the great stag dead and a household was cooking his meat for us over the rise. "Run, run!" But all we saw was a sullen hag in a sunken hovel boiling up mire weeds. Despair. I led my donkey, with only the nun's prayers ahead for direction, into the depths of a wood, stumbling around boulders, grabbing at holly and oak limbs, haunted by noises. Was it a wildcat or stray hounds baying, noises from the blankness? I could just make out the bishop on the crest of the next ridge, dismounting to speak with someone. Words carried like arrows through the hollow mist. A Mormon was offering to turn a vast, loaf-shaped rock with an ancient stone ring round it into bread for the bishop, but he was in two minds. Just then a great cry, like a stroke of thunder on the back of the west wind, went up from the chaplain, who is pointing at something. The word passed down the line in a terrible hiss. "Hooves!" The same moment, the evening sun blazed through and silhouetted the devil like a longhorn against the sky. Light glanced on the river below us as though someone had opened a cask of jewels, and patches of blue began to appear among the clouds, the colour of Mary's robes. Then you would have seen the rocks of Link's Tor dancing and the trees put on their leaves for a moment. Ravens did acrobatics and wolves took the first lamb's picker back, returning them safe to their ewes. Then the bishop fell on his face with humility and sank his hands in the bog and smeared his cheeks with the peat-blackened earth and kissed the moorstone, and my donkey brayed.